Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And it brings me great joy, hallelujah, to introduce to you tonight's program, Professors with Voices, for this Friday, August the 13th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, family and friends, hallelujah, prepare to receive a blessing from our anointed host and facilitator, Dr. Sylvester Carl Henderson. Amen.
First of all, thank you, Bishop Cook, for allowing us to come on and talk about just the important topic about not just music, but science, technology, engineering, art, and math, and how it responds through a technological framework with the support of business and engineering and all those wonderful things. So I am very grateful once again for you for always opening up your show and allowing me to just spark my deep passion for higher education by bringing on various personalities around the world every month, pretty much. And so I can never thank you enough, because this very often in the academy, as educators call it, many educators in higher education never get an opportunity to express their feelings and their thoughts and to really share their perspective. And so one of the things that I'm grateful for is that you allow me to bring individuals on that get an opportunity to share their perspective. And oh my God, we have a wonderful list of professionals that mean the world to me, every one of these professionals. We have Professor Rochelle Olive, who's a business professor at College of Alameda. We have Professor Theodore Atkins, who's also a business professor at Los Verdanos College. We have Professor Drew Burgess, who's a professor of art and history at College of Alameda. My longtime college friend and legendary jazz musician and professor, Professor Glenn Pearson, who is the lead faculty and emeritus chair at College of Alameda. Along with my real, I call him like my nephew, Dr. Amir Thompson, who is just a smart young fella. He was worked in faculty for some time at Davila Valley College, and then he had an opportunity to work, I believe, he worked as a dean at Contra Costa College, and then was fortunate enough to land a job for the San Mateo Community College District as the Dean of STEAM at Kenyatta College. So I want to welcome each of these participants, and I've been telling each of them that they're going to have a lot of fun this evening, and I believe it and know it. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call each of them one by one and ask them to tell us something about what they do with their prospective college and how do they see their discipline sort of supporting some element of STEAM. It could be an element of business, it can be an element of technology or engineering or something. And then I wanted to tell us, the listening community, how their philosophy would help make life better for people of color. So the first person I'm going to talk with is kind of like a lady. Well, both of them. I can't say I love one more to the next, because I always start with ladies first. Is my dear friend, Professor Rochelle Olive. She keeps me in line at College of Alameda. We talk often, yeah. And I really employ and I really love her wisdom. So I'm going to ask Professor Olive to go first for us.
Amen.
Well, evening again. radio audience, and thank you again, Sylvester, for inviting me. I am at College of Alameda. I am an instructor first, teaching accounting and tax there at the campus. Also, we have opened up a entrepreneur center where beginning next semester, we're going to have an opportunity for individual students as well as the community at large to come in and take classes on how to become an effective entrepreneur. It's interesting that you ask on my particular subject or discipline area benefit STEAM. And it does not matter what area of STEAM, whether it's science, technology, engineering, or mathematics, every one of those areas, there is a business opportunity. Either you are going to become an entrepreneur, which is a business owner, or you're going to become part of corporate America or become part of a private particular business. So there's a business aspect in each one of those areas. And what most are looking for is to take your ideas, your innovations from starting from inception on to completion, where it actually becomes a product one way or another. That's all I have to say right now.
All right, then. Well, thank you, Professor Olive. And I'm writing down keywords, and we're going to come back and have you to expand on those philosophies, because I know you have a lot of wisdom in that mind of yours, and we want to make sure our radio audience hears it. Thank you again. So next I'm going to go to my dear friend, who I told her this morning. I said, I think I was talking to Rochelle, and I said, Rochelle at Los Medanos College is my dear friend, Theodora Atkins. She's professor of business. So we're going to ask Professor Atkins to tell us now about what she does at Los Medanos College, which is part of Contra Costa Community College District, and to kind of share with us how she sees her discipline supporting STEM, especially the business component. Professor Theodora?
Hello, can you hear me, Sylvester?
We sure can.
Okay, good. If you can hear me, then everybody else can. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a new experience for me. I'm usually the host doing the interviewing. And this is like, okay, I guess I can do this. I ask people to do this all the time. I just kind of want to play off of what the previous speaker said about entrepreneurship. STEM or STEAM is all about using your labor to generate wealth for you. And that's what I really try to get my students to understand, especially my African-American students, because they have been ancestrally brought into this country to use their labor to build wealth for others. So what I try to do is help them to understand, and we go back to the colonial era, and we talk about who provided the labor, who provided the natural resources, where did the capital come from, and who were the entrepreneurs. And I help them to understand that in a public system, one of the first questions I ask them on day one is, have you been told ever to create a business for yourself, or have you been told to get a good education, to get a good job? And almost unanimously, they tell me that they have been told to get a good education so they can get a good job. And then I help them understand where that stems from, and help them to understand to learn to use your labor to generate wealth for yourself and for your heirs. And so that's where I start on day one, is that this is a system, and especially a public system, The public system is designed to create and generate labor for the capitalist. The private system, the capitalists, do not send their children to schools where they are trained to be a labor source. They're trained to be a captain of industry. So that's where I start on day one. And the students appreciate that because they've never heard that. I also begin on day one talking about creativity and how that's one of the most important assets you can have in business, in STEM, and in STEAM. And I help them understand that the E or the A, the arts part of the STEAM, is eliminated because you provide that. You have that. And they really, and when I say they, I'm talking about the industrialists. I'm talking about those people who benefited from their labor. What happened during the Harlem Renaissance was that it was the first time that people were able to see that these people that they had previously only envisioned as being able to pick cotton, raise their children, clean their homes, cook their food, had other really important gifts. And that was the beginning. That's about 100 years ago. So the Harlem Renaissance was really a new, what they call the New Negro Movement, which said we're more than that. As black people, we're more than that. We can do far more. And that began the exploitation of the creativity of African people in America, and we still are experiencing that today. So I try to get students to understand, use your labor to build wealth for you. Because at the end of the day, if you get a job, you might get a pension, and that pension ends with you. You cannot pass that on to your heirs. That's where I start. And so just to help you understand who I am that person that dismantles that lie, and it's a lie, at the root of everything that we are dealing with in this country today. And that is the lie of the superiority of European whiteness and the lie of the inferiority of African blackness. That's who I am. And that's what I do in the world, is dismantle that lie. European whiteness is wonderful. It's beautiful. But so is African blackness. And that's what we have to overcome.
That's right.
I think that's it for me. I think that's what
I'm doing. Well, you know what, Professor Atkins, I want to thank you for sharing that. And I wrote down a couple of key words that I'm going to ask you to expound on after we hear from the rest of our panel, so thank you. We're going to now go to our you had talked about art, and that's a good time for us now to go to our art historian and Professor Drew Burgess to tell us something about what you do at the college and how your subject area really supports not only innovation, but the area of STEAM as well. Professor Burgess?
Hello. Hello, everyone, Bishop Cook and Professor Henderson and colleagues. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a joy for me to talk about this subject. I'm an art teacher at the College of Alameda. I teach drawing, painting, design, and also art history courses. One of the great pleasures for me is just working with people on a one-on-one way, just coming down to earth and just being with someone as we think of kind of the nuts and bolts of expression. I think one of the beauty of art is that we don't know what's going to happen, and that it puts us in touch with unknown parts of ourselves and then our world, so that it offers us a way to contact our feeling and perhaps feelings we're not aware of. As I begin my semester, and I'm thinking of it, and I'm planning, and so this fall, I wanted to give myself a concept. I like to do that when I'm starting. So my concept as an instructor, as a teacher, is that I want to think about play. And so I'm incorporating it into my assignments, and I'm thinking of my students, and I'm thinking of that quality of play. And then how the art and the sciences, adventures in business, it's like a wonderful playground where things can happen. And so in terms of STEAM or STEM, I think the arts offer people a sense of invention. So when we're challenged with the idea of being creative, it gives us an opportunity to be inventive, and I think it's a beautiful thing. For people of color, I think that the arts offer just a tremendous and fantastic way to come in contact with our sense of expression, the value of each of us as we want to express ourselves. It's a great beauty of the arts and life. It's something that I like. And then and within that are the layers of expression. So there may be the layers that we've learned. There may be layers of expression that we want to unlearn. But in the arts, we can start from a place of beginning and grow again. So each person who engages with the arts can grow newly and reform and reshape and re-encounter the world. I think that's a start for me. Thank you.
Okay. One of the things I want to say, thank you again, Professor Burgess. One of the things that I heard you talk about is not only being inventive, but really at the core, being able to allow individuals, your students, as well as others that you inspire to experience things that are different through not only art, but just through taking the mind and the intellect and working to activate some inward passion. So I appreciate your statement. I'm going to go now to, I've known Professor Pearson for a long time. I'm going to call him last because we talk all the time because he has some other ideas that we're going to talk about. So I think at this time I'm going to stay and go right now to Dr. Amir Thompson, who has been both faculty as well as now as a manager, and ask him to expound upon some of the things that he knows about STEAM, which he knows a lot about STEAM and STEM, as well as how it connects to the arts.
Yeah, no,
Dr. Thompson.
Again, thank you. Thank you, Professor Henderson. Thank you all for having me here today. So my name is Dr. Amir Thompson. I currently serve as the Dean of Science and Technology at Kenyatta College. And just a bit about me, I am fortunate to be a product of the community college system. Myself, a first generation, previously low income student, raised by a single mother, a single black mother who did an amazing job and through some very tough circumstances. I'm very fortunate now to be able to have come back and, taught at one of the institutions where I was a student and now serve some of the students that, come with the talents and promise that many of our community college students have, but they also face some obstacles. And I really feel that science and STEAM are, in general, are ways to get them to achieve some of their loftier, both academic and life goals. One of the things I try to impress upon people most times is that science and art are very tightly coupled, and really they're not so different. In many ways, it's both really stem from a desire to interpret and contextualize your lived experience, right? So scientists and artists have a similar starting point where they see their world and they're trying to make sense of it. And I think science has one method of doing that. They have a scientific method where you have a hypothesis-driven research. Artists have, music, you have painting, and you can see the scientific, the overlap of the scientific mindset in many different artists. For example, you look at a guy like John Coltrane and the really intricate music theory that he would apply to his music. look at somebody like Frida Kahlo and how she would explore themes of, you know, the sciences in her artwork. And so these things are not so traditionally are very tightly coupled. And even if you start to delve into just specific disciplines, so for example, my background is in physiology. I did my bachelor's degree at Cal State Sacramento after having attended Diablo Valley College as an undergraduate. And then I finished my PhD at Cornell University and doing physiology. And then I did a postdoctoral fellowship at Columbia University in neuroscience. And throughout this time, I really got to appreciate, you know, things like the overlap between how we understand music. For example, when you hear a song and you start to feel good about that song, that's because that song was able to trigger something in you that released some neurotransmitters that are being sent through your body and, you know, stimulating some sense of feeling. So art and science being coupled together. Even just the physics of hearing sounds, you have, you know, an instrument causing air to vibrate at a specific frequency and wavelength that stimulates your inner ear, which moves hair cells, which then trigger your brain to understand that this is music and interprets that. You can even look at something like, from a more pragmatic perspective, how do we get music to people these days? Well, most of it's being distributed via streaming services. Those streaming services are coded by coders who undoubtedly have a computer science background. So all these things are very tightly coupled, and my goal really is to help people understand that the most interesting stuff happens at the nexus of these seemingly disparate disciplines, because they really are not so disparate when you start to really dig into it.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. That is that sounds very intelligent, but it sounds enthralling at the same time.
That's what
I want to thank you. You said something that was really profound when you said that the way that you introduce science and STEAM to people, or STEM, but really helping people to understand that it's not so far removed. It's about understanding how to conceptualize basically your life, to conceptualize your lived experiences. I wrote that down because that's a profound statement, so I want to say thank you for sharing not only your story, your journey, but some wisdom with our audience. I'm going to now go to my real dear longtime friend that we've been knowing each other since I was like 16 years old, and that's my very good friend, Professor Glenn Pearson, who is a world-renowned, internationally renowned jazz artist as well as musician. So I want to thank him for being here and taking the time out of his schedule. And he also recently got married, so this is special because I'm kind of taking some of his wife time right now.
Uh-oh. You better hurry up.
And so, right, because okay. I don't want her to get mad. So, okay, Professor Pearson.
Thank you very much, Professor Henderson, and also acknowledging the distinguished panelists on board with us this evening, and also giving a acknowledgement to Bishop Cook. Thank you for having me on board. And I guess when it comes down to the discussion of STEM and STEAM, first of all, let me also just acknowledge that I'm head of the music department at College of Alameda, lead faculty, so that puts me in the position of having oversight of such things as scheduling classes and implementation of curriculum. I teach popular music history, also European music history, as well as piano theory, and then also jazz ensembles and improvisation courses. But on the idea of music and STEM and/or STEAM, for me, one of the things that I have been embarking upon and I'm looking to implement is a certificated programming and curriculum for the music department that ties directly into the concept of STEM with regards to the idea of science, technology, engineering, and math. And those components are deeply ingrained within the idea of music. And also, as far as bringing this into a perspective within communities of color, you have lots of young people out there that are dabbling in technologies, for the purpose of producing music or, you know, trying to just come up with, I guess, the next great hit or what have you. But the fact is that they are embarking upon involvement in technology, in engineering, in math. All those things are involved. And I also want to take this to a practical in terms of having particularly, like I say, students of color and community, underserved communities, having these people, these students aware of the vastness of music as an industry. You know, oftentimes people think of music only in two extremes. You either are, there's, you know, someone either struggling and playing their instrument in the subway station somewhere, or they got their name and lights and on the marquee and on covers of, you know, countless magazines and periodicals. But you have to think, what is the driving force behind the industry itself? When you talk about the industry, you're talking about the music that is in the background while you're on hold for Wells Fargo and Chase, okay? The music that is taking place while you are in the midst of shopping and going about your daily tasks. I challenge anyone at any point to think of a day or a time that they have not encountered music in some way or another, either, you know, either actively or unconsciously. But all of that together, when you talk about the idea of creating careers, bases of income, entrepreneurship, those opportunities are also there for the opportunity to establish careers in music. That is, whether you are, once again, you know, you could be doing over, you know, tracks for industrials. You know, people create income from, as I say, creating, you know, incidental music for various other sorts of advertisements and whatnot. So these are the things that I want to expound upon and like I said, bring communities, the students within the community of color, on board with this. And at the same time, this relates back to the idea of STEAM or STEM, because, once again, they are involving the aspects of science. You know, you have to think that, I mean, there's scientific elements when you talk about putting music together or programming or mixing sound, you know, those sorts of things. You know, there's the technology, you know, there's the engineering, and there's the mathematical components. So that is, like I say, part of the mission that I am seeking to implement and fulfill.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank you, my dear friend, Professor Pearson, for taking the time to kind of share your thoughts and your ideas. And I want to say that I just did not get out of being so formal. I can say Glenn is very, very innovative and very good. He was talking about technology for young people, but I started really learning technology back about a year and a half ago, and I can't stay off the computer. And part of it is Glenn. A lot of the training I received and just schooling from Glenn, who's really, really good at innovation and doing a variety of things. So technology, as I see it, technology is wonderful. When each of you were talking, I thought, I was trying to write down some words about STEAM. I thought science helps us to conceptualize and create. T, technology and talent. E, experiences and energy. A, action, artistry, training, and business, and M, music, magic, and movement. I want to ask each of you, these are just kind of some different things I wrote down to kind of describe what a STEAM is to me. I would like to ask some of you, what are some of the challenges that you face in terms of helping your students of color see their total potential, whether it's STEAM or whether it's general education in general? And how can we help young people to really begin to see the value of really not just education, but to really redefine education as a skill that you're training? Because I would say that a parent that's able to take care of a family of five or six children on welfare, that is an educated woman, just in a different vein as opposed to an institution. So I think there's various ways of taking our lived experiences and helping to codify it and shape it in such a way that we institutionalize the thinking, but we also maintain innovation. And we kind of talk about what Professor Atkins was talking about, as well as Professor Olive, about helping people to understand how to create labor primarily not only for their families, but for themselves. And sometimes even after obtaining a general education, we still are not able to create an effective amount of labor that can take care of us, because we know within the education arena and the academy, as we call it, that there are many people who have high levels of education and no job. So is the purpose of going to college just for education, or is it really to develop a skill and to shape the mind to become more innovative, artistic, and independent? So I'm just going to leave it open to anyone that would like to answer. Anyone?
Yeah,
education, public education was designed to create a source of labor. That's just a fact. And what students you need to understand, especially black students, that your labor is extremely valuable and that you need to generate. Education is really just about getting a certificate that gives you access to certain arenas. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to learn anything that's going to be of additional value more than what you have inside of you. You already have everything that you need. God put it there. The education or the piece of paper is going to give you access. And that's what I want students to understand, that you have so much more to offer, but that piece of paper is going to grant you access to be who you were created to be. That's what I want them to understand, is that that piece of paper is not going to necessarily, it's not a panacea. It's just a piece of paper. It's what this culture has designed to eliminate certain people. The problem is that most of us in the black community, we went for that. We got those PhDs. We got those master's degrees. And it didn't necessarily give us more access. And I think what we're seeing now in 2021 is that people are starting to understand that. And I'm just real honest with my students that I want you here. I think you need to be here. But you need to be here with a different mindset than the
what
you've been trained. You need to be here with a different mindset. You need to understand what you're doing here. You are here to learn accounting, because you need. If you don't understand accounting, you will not be able to understand how to maintain your money. If you don't understand finance, you won't be able to understand how to maintain your money. You won't understand concepts of return on investment. It's be real clear about what you're here to do, not what you're here to get, but what you're here to do. Just get what you're offering and understand that what you bring to the table, this is especially, you know, I don't use words like people of color. I am an African-American woman, ancestors of African people. I'm an Ankabulan woman. They need to be clear about that. Until they have freedom, nobody else can have freedom. So I specifically don't use words like people of color, because all people, all melanated people are treated differently in this country. It is the African or the Akabulan person who is treated differently because they were brought here against their will. Everybody else came looking for a better life. We kind of forget that part. We forget that piece. This is all, I take everybody back to the Berlin Conference, where they divided up Africa into over 50 countries. Those are the pieces of history. So STEAM is essential. And the art piece is really essential. You know, African people designed and created science. They created. We just forgot to tell them where it came from. It was stolen.
That's an untold story.
And I tell that story all the time.
I don't have any.
And you know what? I'm a hold to that, and you know, you always bring us back to some real realities about our culture, our value. I appreciate you. And as you, as I'm writing down some more of those gems that you just shared, I'm going to ask Professor Olive to kind of give us her thoughts.
I appreciate the previous comments, but one thing I do want to bring up and see what the other panelists sort of really think, we are also global. And we need to learn how to work as teams and as groups and to interact with one another. That's really important. And if we don't do that, if we clone ourselves where it's just us, we're not going to be effective. But we're going to have to learn how. It's important to understand your heritage, your culture, and then how to bring that and then how to incorporate it with others. I think that's really kind of important. I think the aspect of teamwork is important. We don't teach enough of that on how to work together. And during this pandemic, particularly since we are all now, unfortunately, are relegated where we're just teaching primarily online, which doesn't present opportunities for people to really to come together and to work. We have to become a little bit more creative. But that's going to be really, really important. One thing you did say, and I think is very important, I think, unfortunately, a lot of our African-Americans have so much talent. Do you know we just sort of give that away? It's not mm-hmm. value, it's taken, it's overlooked.
Exactly.
And when we share that, you know what they do? They take it and they use it. And there's many examples of inventions and ideas that were initially or generated by African Americans and you never know it.
Amen.
You have to go back historically. And so we need to teach. Very important that we teach our young folks how to protect their ideas, not just to give them away, but that global aspect, that's really real, and we're going to have to come up with more innovative and effective ways in which we can be more inclusive in moving forward.
Appreciate that perspective.
That was
Thank
beautiful.
You, because... The two of you are talking, both you and Rochelle, you and Theodora are kind of sort of talking off of one another, which is great. Thank you. I want to ask some of the other panelists, just kind of jump in. Drew, you want to kind of give us your perspective?
Sure. I think these are really wonderful ideas. And I think the ideas of working in a global way and teams is supremely important, and I think our commentator's point about Africa and the science that took place there has not been recognized. My thoughts are turning to design. As a teacher, I like to help students think about design and how powerful design is in a student's life and in our lives. When you realize that each day is a composition. And art, that's what primarily art does. Art is a way that we compose. And so be it music or a painting or a poem, there's a certain power. And then one might not be making a poem or a painting, but it's still that thought process is just tremendously valuable for anyone. And when a student realizes that the coming day is an opportunity for new design, and innovative design, and maybe global design. And as Rochelle is saying, working with others, it becomes a network of possibility. And I think that that's just very beautiful.
You know what? What you brought is kind of helped me to understand. I was thinking about teaching, and I said, man, what Drew is saying, what both of you have said, both Rochelle and Theodora, kind of led me to look at instruction as a tool for intellectual composition. That's what instruction is. It allows us to take something, and it's a tool that we use to spark the intellect, and as we spark the intellect, we are sort of creating a composition, in a sense, a composition of knowledge, which is going to bring me to my dear friend Glenn to ask him to sort of hone in, and then we're going to go to Dr. Thompson. Professor Pearson?
Thank you. You know, on the discussion of sciences and mathematical ideas, innovation, and invention emanating from Africa, and, you know, it is an unfortunately oftentimes overlooked or discredited aspect of history. But I go further, and I think that also is made evident by, I think one of the panelists mentioned, African-Americans along the way that have made contributions and have brought inventions and ideas that have been stolen or that they have not received, you know, acknowledgement and credit for. I'll speak to one. I don't know how many of you are aware of the name Benjamin Bradley. He was a slave who ended up being drawn to mechanical engineering and was allowed to work with his master's tools and whatnot, and developed quite a, extraordinary mechanical aptitude. Even so much so that it was around what I think was in the 1830s, he was more or less leased by his owner to the Naval Academy in Annapolis, where he ended up creating the first steam engine to be utilized in a warship. But he ended up selling his designs to a fellow classmate in order to secure and buy his freedom. But, when that's mentioned, I think of countless cases such as that. Hopefully as we progress forward in this challenging time of education in terms of being able to bring certain things to light, hopefully more of those stories will be incorporated into our curriculums and discussions in terms of just acknowledging people such as Benjamin Bradley.
Thank you, Professor Pearson. Good point, and a lot of history. Let's go to Dr. Thompson to kind of get his thoughts on some of these ideas in terms of, not just the African piece in general, but the African piece as well as really the access piece. And what are some of the things that we could do that can encourage more access for not only people of color, but people in general, but primarily what we're discussing about are folks who haven't had the greatest opportunities in life?
No, those are really big, important questions. And I would sort of piggyback on the historical aspect and say, I think the historical aspect is incredibly important because it says, here is where we came from. We used to contribute greatly to these fields. And I think there's now a sense that, oh, we don't have a place in science. You know, for example, can you name five Black and or Latino scientists off the top of your head? It's harder, right? But those people exist. People exist. And those are the kind of examples that we need to put in front of our students so that they understand not just historically that, yes, you know, going back to, you know, ancient Africa, there was science created, but today, there is cutting-edge science being done by people who look like you, who came from similar circumstances as you, and who are contributing in ways that you could also do. So, for example, in one of my previous institutions, I was running the Hispanic Serving Institution STEM grant, so an HSI STEM program at St. Mary's College. And one of the things I did was create a speaker series that featured young, up-and-coming scientists who were, you know, had maybe finished their PhDs and were starting out their careers, but they had a common theme, which is they often came from some underrepresented background, and they had achieved the, you know, heights of science. So, you know, PhDs from, you know, Caltech, Harvard, Stanford, all these places. So they were both near peers in the sense that they're only a few years down the line from where our students were, so maybe five or so years out. So the students didn't have to extrapolate to think, oh, there's a person on TV who I could never be like. I mean, I can't. It's hard to wrap your head around that, right? So if you saw him on TV, yes, he's a wonderful role model, but it takes 30 years to get to where Neil deGrasse Tyson is. Yes, you can say there's amazing stories coming out of, you know, Africa from, you know, time immemorial, but that's hard to connect with. What's easy to connect with, what's very tangible, is saying, oh, there's this guy, Jeffrey Lovely, Dr. Jeffrey Lovely, who's from San Jose, who did his undergraduate degree at UC Davis in 3 years, a young black man who did his undergraduate degree at UC Davis in 3 years, then went on to Caltech to work for a Nobel Prize winner, and then went on to the National Institutes of Health to work as a scientist. That's a real tangible person, and that's the kind of person I was able to bring in front of my students. And that's what I think we really need to focus on, and because students need to see it in order to be it, right? It's a very sort of well-worn idea, which is it's hard to just conceptualize what you can be if you've never seen it happen. So I think really the focus needs to be on students' access to science, but providing them role models that tell them you can access things that you didn't even think were possible, but I exist, therefore you can exist in this space as well.
Wow, I like that.
It's called Mbutu. That's Mbutu. That's an African principle. I am because you are. I cannot be without you.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I want to thank you, thank both of you, but I especially like that, Professor Theo just said. But when you said it, just really stuck home to me because I'm always looking for slogans and things that will spark the mind. Students need to see it in order to be it. I like that. That's right. So I want to ask each of you, but I want to go backwards this time. If each of you can, before we open up our listening, if you can just tell us two words that you could share with the listening community in terms of what are two words that would sort of surmise, if that was possible, your actual philosophy in terms of supporting disadvantaged students and folks in general in higher education. Just two words. Let's start with Dr. Thompson for right now. Let's start with him first. Just tell us two words.
Say limitless and access.
Okay. Let's now go to Professor Burgess.
I tell my students a quality of art that I'm interested in, and it's craft and care.
Okay, craft, care, limitlessness, and, okay.
Access.
And access, okay. And let's go now to ask Professor Theodore, what are your two?
I'm advantaged.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say? Professor Theodore, did you hear me? I didn't hear you.
She may have dropped.
Oh, okay. All right. Professor Olive?
I would say, it's three words. You said two words. Yes, I can.
Okay. Are your words, yes,
I can?
Okay. I like that. Yes, I can. Okay. That's adding another one in there, but that's good. That's creative. Okay. Professor Pearson?
Innovation and opportunity.
Say it again for it.
Innovation and opportunity.
Okay. Innovation and opportunity. All right. Professor Theodore back?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. I logged off by mistake. But
no problem. Can you tell us your two words?
I'm advantaged. I'm advantaged. And that's a responsibility. I have a lot. I'm advantaged. And I have responsibility to humanity because of it.
And I'm going to add my two words. I'm not going to share because each of you are sharing many aspects of my two words. Mine is innovation and independence. Innovation and independence. Bishop Cook, what a wonderful panel that we have this evening in terms of educators, in terms of sharing their ideas of life, really conceptualizing their philosophies and their ideas about their lived experiences and their beliefs of science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Let's see if we can, I'm going to turn you back over to Bishop Cook for right now to see if we have any questions in the chat room right now, because we've been on for about hour, and if not, we're going to come back and ask a couple of more questions. But wow, this is going to make great footage for people to not only hear and to listen. And thank you once again, Bishop Cook.
Amen. No problem. All right, my brothers and sisters. If you have a comment or a question, you know what to do. Kindly press your 1, and that will alert me that you want to add your voice to this discussion. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. And for you in the chat room, all 3 chat rooms, if you have a comment or question, kindly relay it now, and I will type it now, and I will relay it to our wonderful panel, or you are more than welcome to call our studio at 714-364-4337 and say it in person. Amen. All right, I am scrolling. Does anyone have a comment or a question at this time? They're probably like me, just writing. This is so rich. At this time, I don't see anyone, Dr. Henderson, so please let us learn something else. Amen.
Well, you know what? Now I want to ask, what are 5 steps that each of us could take that could help improve not just conceptualizing and improving our life and to increase our own individual labor? But what are 5 things that each of us could do as academics in order to make life better for disadvantaged folks and just help share greater wisdom to the general community? Let's start now in the center. Let's start with Professor Burgess first.
Okay. I was trying to – let me you caught me writing. The first thing I was going to say was access. So in preparing for the semester, I'm talking with students and emailing and things and getting people there and opening the doors. Second quality would be vision. I think each of us needs to find a vision in ourselves, and then that's something that we can offer others. Number 3 off the top of my head, I'd say hope. We as leaders must have hope, and we have to find that hope in ourselves. And then we have to help build that in our world, in our community. 4, let's see, how about integrity? I think that we can offer our students our voices and the integrity that we feel in our hearts. And by integrity, that means it's matching our voices with our sense of justice and our sense of our picture of the world. And let's see, number 5, I'm just going to say greatness, because in my notebook the other day, in projecting my day, sometimes I write notes the night before, and I said to myself, make something great today. And then I came upon that note the next day, and I just felt very inspired by it. So I think asking that of ourselves and asking that of our students too. Let's reach for something. And each of us, our students, each of us has that possibility. And I like the old saying, I don't know where it came from, but hands to work, hearts to God. And you can find that spirit in yourself and lift yourself lift people around you. Thank you.
Well, I like that. Access, vision, hope, integrity, and greatness. That sounds like a great sermon for some pastor someplace. That's right. Access, vision, hope, integrity, and greatness. Let's ask Professor Theodore, what are your five words that you could leave with our community in terms of just saying or words that would help make life better for people in general?
You know, Sylvester, I start with spirit. There's a higher power, whatever you call that. Connect with that. Spend time in nature. Connecting with that. That's
okay.
Number one. Find your higher power, whatever you call it. I call it God, but you can call it whatever. But just know that there's something bigger than you. That's step one. Step two, for me, is understand history. We don't learn anything beyond 2,000 years ago. I've made it my business. I'm a business professor, but I study history. And learning about, I know that this time that we have in America, it's like a blip in a long continuum. So take time to learn history, and you have to be intentional about that, because that's the one thing they don't want you to know. So that's step two. Understand your ancient African history. Step three, understand that humanity began in Africa, that every human being on this planet is African. When we understand that, that frees us. I am Eve. I am mitochondrial Eve. Every human on the planet is my child, my brother, my sister. I'm responsible. That's number three. And number four is I started reading James Baldwin when I was in the fourth grade. I did not really understand him because I was only in the fourth grade. But the one thing I got from James Baldwin, in the fourth grade, they're lying to you. That's the one thing I learned. So I questioned everything I learned in every classroom, everything I learned in the home, everything I learned in the community. And that was problematic because I asked questions that people couldn't answer. Number four, love yourself. That's essential. Love you. Because if you don't love you, I can't love anybody else. So I can testify I love Theodora, which means I can love Sylvester and every other human I encounter. Human I encounter.
Come on in the room, sister.
Without love, none of this will work.
She better back up the church up around here. Hallelujah.
I don't care what you say or what you do. If I do not love God's creation, and that is every human, we have to understand God gave us dominion over this.
Come on.
God said, I will not intrude unless you invite me in.
Come on, sister. Sister,
unless you invite me into this.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, read your Bible.
Please.
For yourself. Because everything we need, all the answers that we need, are in that ancient text that they started.
Come on.
And they circumvented. But if you read it in the spirit, God will tell you exactly
Hallelujah.
What you need. To know. I love
you.
You
know, Professor Theodore,
but I don't
you
necessarily love your behavior. And I will love you. If I don't say nothing, that means I don't care about you.
I don't love you. Come on.
I will
That's
hold
it.
You I will make you accountable, because every one of us will sit on a judgment seat.
Yes, we
and
will.
And ain't
going to
be no
say
lie,
that.
Because God got a video. God got a video.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't going to be no lying. You just need to sit with yourself. Sit with yourself. Deal with yourself. It is very essential that we understand that as African people in this country, we are in exile. And we are addicted to white. We're addicted to white.
Lord.
We are doing the oppressor's job for him and her. And we need to stop it. Stop it. Show the world how to love humans, humanity. And my last thought, find your right mind, preserve your sanity, and always protect your humanity.
Hallelujah.
You know what? That summarizes it. You talked about the spirit. You talked about really researching your ancient history, having your humanity, reading, especially materials like and books written by folks such as James Baldwin. Love yourself. Read your Bible. Do right. And love humanity.
Right.
So there were many other areas in there, but I want to summarize that and say that I know that's a couple of sermons right up in there.
Oh, at least 5 or 10 right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over
we're
here just writing. Just waiting.
We're going to ask at this point, Professor Olive, Rochelle, tell us your comments.
Okay, I'm sorry. You wanted 5? Repeat that again.
Just five things that you would like to leave with the listening, with our listening community, in terms of 5 principles that you feel would help make life better, not only for your students but folks in general.
Number 1, hold on, and I have listed 4 items. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your confidence. Hold on to hope. Hold on to the Lord. Integrity. Always be honest. Always tell the truth. And the last but not least, have compassion for others.
Amen, Ashe and Ishe.
Amen. Come on now. I'm ready to go preach in the streets. Come on.
I'm trying to keep these women down before we get going. You know what?
Okay.
You
I'm going to be nice.
About,
I'm going to be good. Okay.
You talked about holding on to your faith, Professor Olive, holding on to your confidence, your hope, your Lord, but always having the sense of being an honest person. Help develop good integrity. Don't lie. Don't do wrong. Because when you do those things, hopefully it would develop a compassion inside of you that helps you love people. Because to me, teaching and supporting education is, I mean, after we go through all the training and education, it's really about sharing love in a particular innovative way as we compose knowledge to share with individuals. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day.
Dr. Henderson, we have Pastor Scott in the house, and he has a comment or a question. Is this a good time for him to come on in?
Yeah, and then we'll get to our last 2 after Reverend Scott.
That's a beautiful break right there. That's a holy hookup. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless
you, my brother.
Thank you, everyone on this panel. Thank you for all this this information. I was thinking when you first said, Professor Henderson, you first said 2 words, I know I'm not part of the panel, but I was thinking show up. A lot of times we don't show up because we're, you So we may be discouraged, but I hear a lot of encouragement on this line tonight.
Me
and
too.
So
amen.
The thing is that if there was going to be a perfect or I would say a near perfect educational system that was going to be built, it would be built on the foundation of what's been talked about today. And,
amen. With the people right here.
You guys to know that I really appreciate all of the encouragement, you know.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are just, you know, you just want to just want to help the students and help people to understand that we can be more than what we think we can be. Because
there you
even
go.
Back in the back day, you know, and even now, given lesser opportunities, we become innovative and make more out of the opportunity than anybody
yeah.
else thought that we could. So so the thing is that if we don't show up, then we're negating the opportunity to be innovative and to just show what we can do with our lives, you know, because
thank
what
you.
God gives, he gives us more than we even know. So when we show up with the opportunity, God shows up with us because what does his word say? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if
no,
we're
forsake
you,
brother.
Come on
now, bro. Okay, we
in the place, he's there with us. And so when I and I just, you know, I just appreciate, you know, everything. And I, my one question is, you know, because I know there's always an opposition because we hear so much good encouragement here, but there's always that one or two people in a system that would be the discouragement for somebody not to show up. How can we move past that discouragement and get to the encouraging part?
Pray it down. Pray it down.
Pray it down. I heard that now.
Pray it
all
down.
Right.
Use God's word. God's word.
Come on.
The sword.
That's
the only
I could have been on
defensive
this
weapon we have. Everything else is a defensive weapon.
What
so pray
the
word
you are on
of God,
you are on the panel because it's your show.
From you.
God, it's your show.
Authentically. Don't show up.
Come
like
on
that
now.
Show up authentically. They crucified
right.
Jesus, and trust me, they crucified him today.
Come on.
Just show
thank
up.
You,
you know what? We're gonna ask because you know what? I know between Reverend Scott and see y'all ain't got Sister Rochelle going yet, but I know if she get going, you get going, and Reverend Scott get going. We ain't never gonna get off this line.
Well,
so I appreciate yeah. all of you. Though I want to ask Dr. Thompson, tell us your 5 points that you would like to leave, and then I want to hear from Professor Pearson, and then we'll go back to Reverend Scott, and we'll probably be out of time at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So I start with the premise that if I'm talking about students or people in general, I really try to start with the premise that who you are is enough. Whatever you bring to the table is enough for you to be successful.
Oh,
so
man.
It's really up to myself as an educator to remove barriers to your success. And that's sort of how I sort of frame my five things. And the five things, I guess, in no particular order. Number one, grace. Because even though our students are, they are enough, sometimes they don't know how to navigate these spaces. So we need to be patient. We need to meet them where they are. And that's going to require us to, you know, set aside feelings sometimes and really give them the grace that's needed in order to serve them properly. Number two is imagination and helping students to imagine things that they may not have seen before. And it sometimes that requires us as educators and leaders to be imaginative as well to not just do the things that have always been done and to try to think differently about how to deliver education, how to deliver science and art. Humility, because at some point you're going to come up against something and you're not going to know the answer. And being okay with that. Also, just being able to be open to experiences that you are unfamiliar with. So just that humble spirit, that servant spirit, I think is really crucial. Fourth one, and this is sort of the two-part one, which is preparation and work. A lot of times what we think of as luck is really just a combination of having worked really hard, prepared for the opportunities that you're presented with. I can't tell you how many Nobel Prize winners have simply said, you know, I just happen to be staring at this data long enough, and the thing that everybody else sort of passed over, I stopped for a second and saw it. And it wasn't just luck. It was that they had worked really hard to get to that discovery, and they prepared themselves for that point. And so when preparation and luck coincided and the opportunity presented itself, then they were able to take advantage. So preparation and work. And the last one is trust yourself. I always tell people, you need to bet on yourself. The one bet you should always make is on yourself, that you can do it. And that may sound a bit
trite,
but it really is. No one else is going to bet on you the way you can bet on yourself. No one else is going to be able to support you in the way that you can support yourself. And so that's not to say that other people shouldn't help support you, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, you know, you can have all these people saying you can do it, but if you don't believe that, if you don't internalize that and you don't express that, you're not going anywhere. So you have to trust yourself.
That's good.
And those are my
five. I love that.
Wow. Those are profound.
I love that. Okay.
Let's go to Professor Pearson right now.
Well, with all the profound ideas and dissemination of thought, I just really, I don't know if I have something even significant to stack up to what has been already presented and said. But nonetheless,
come on with it, bro.
Number one, I'd say quest. There should be a quest for information. Okay. And a thirst for it.
That
should be
all right now.
Also, there should be a demand for access. Okay. Non-compromising. I mean, not to say to be aggressive or violent, but in terms of just information that is deemed to be essential and important and that may not be made immediately available, don't take no for an answer. Okay?
Exactly.
And then also seek involvement. Seek opportunities to actually be involved in those philosophies, ideas, what have you, know, pursuits. In a real life sense with others, so there should be a seeking of opportunity for actual involvement. Value experience, opportunity for experience that you get that may help to broaden and further your understanding what it is that you are pursuing. Definitely value that. That is something to really be cherished and valued. And when, you know, that those opportunities to gain that experience come up, by all means, take full advantage of them. And then you should strive for application of that information and knowledge base as a builder of confidence. By having the opportunity somehow to become practically involved in whatever it may be that you are aiming to develop and or acquire, I say putting that into application is the means of building the confidence one would need to be able to continue to move forward in that pursuit. So
come on,
those are my thoughts.
That's good.
Well, you know what? You have mentioned some wonderful principles. Each of you have mentioned the application of perseverance, the application of loving yourself, and the application of reading your Bible, the application of holding on, the application of always having integrity, greatness, access, the application that we just talked about, that Dr. Thompson talked about, to know that you are enough. These are all the principles that really, from my standpoint, help us to understand that in all that we do, having a belief in a source, in a higher source that I call God, but really at the same token, not really buying the negative images, understanding that society sends negative images to us, but not buying it. Don't drink the juice.
Don't drink the juice.
That's right.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
That's right.
Don't drink that Kool-Aid.
That's right. Don't drink the juice, you know, but rather eat the principle of really loving one another. And I'm going to leave this with each of you. I want each of you to know I deeply love each of you in my heart. And I am so grateful that each of you took the time to come on. These shows mean the world to me because as an African-American man, I've had a great passion. Everything I've done in life has been through the context of higher education. I believe that higher education gives us not only access, but I believe higher education is really the divine plan for us in order to prepare for us to share love. So to me, I look at higher education, music, and God as really a concept of me sharing love. So on behalf of my heart to yours, I want to thank my dear friend, Professor Theodore Atkins. I want to thank my dear friend, Professor Rochelle Olive. I want to thank my humble and really kind-hearted colleague, Professor Drew Burgess. I want to thank my lifetime friend, Professor Glenn Pearson. I want to thank my extended family member who I just love to death. You know, Dr. Thompson and I met, and he probably thought I was crazy, but over the years, he's finally realized this man really does love people, and I'm so proud of him. When I looked at him, I looked at Dr. Thompson's resume a couple of years ago, and you know what? It just was something very unique about him. I didn't know him from no one. He'll tell you, I just reached out to him like a stranger, and I told him, I want to help you get into the community college system. And I said that I'm an old man, but if you listen to me, I have a lot of wisdom that I can share. And God, is now a dean. He's a dean at Kenyatta College. He has a wife. He has a son. And I'm so proud of him. I mean, how many African-American men do you know that have a PhD in biophysics?
Go ahead.
You know, I'm just really proud of him, and I love him to death, and I thank God for him, and I wish him nothing but success. And finally, I want to thank my lifetime friend. It is very rare to have a person that you can say that has been a friend of yours from almost the beginning of your life. But from the beginning of being the age of 16, I have known Professor Glenn Pearson. We took all of our classes together. He went off and did exciting things, and I taught people who couldn't sing how to sing. But at the end of the time, we all came back together. And I'm so proud of him. He's a professor. He's made major accomplishments. So I want to thank him along with my other brother, who I love in my heart, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, along with his wife, and finally, Michelle. And finally, I cannot thank anyone more than thanking Bishop Shirlene Cook. You know, she's in St. Louis right now. She lost a family member this morning, but she was still dedicated to the art of allowing God's people, which is humanity, to come and express their heart. So once again, Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing me the platform to bring different personalities onto your show. I love you, and I pray that God and all of the things that he has would enrich your life until he say the time is well done.
Come on, man.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to echo and say thank you to you, Dr. Henderson. First of all, my dear brother, this is your program.
And we are so blessed by the wonderful panel members that you always come forth with. And I want to thank all of you. Look,
amen.
You all have me thirsting for knowledge. I'm full of hope, thirsting for knowledge, ready to move forward and look, use all of my artistic abilities because I am enough, but I can still be some more. Hallelujah.
All right now.
This is what that little boy or girl in the hood needs to hear. You know.
That's right.
That's what they need to hear. You know, they need to hear some of the things that I know. Somebody loves me and thinks enough of me to say, let's see what we can do with that.
Yes.
Some little boy or girl heard tonight that I don't just have to aspire to get a job for minimum wage. I can be an entrepreneur. I can make jobs for other people.
Mm.
That's why I love your program, Sylvester. That's why I love all of these wonderful doctors and professors that you bring to this network, because little boys and girls of all colors around this world need to hear the messages and the goals and the applications and the discipline that you and all of these beautiful people on your panel bring forth. And I want to thank you all for what you do and for the way you do it. And this world truly is a better place because all of you are in it. This has been Bishop Shalene. Hallelujah. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook. On behalf of Dr. Sylvester Henderson and Professor of Voices, we pray that you have truly been blessed on tonight. And we also pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. I love all of you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night
to all of you. Thank you.
Good night. Have a great evening. Thank you all. This was a great discussion.